This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, we are turning the lens onto sex education. So there have been calls, or rather, I should say renewed calls, I think, for comprehensive sex education to be had in schools after news of a 15-year-old girl who gave birth in a toilet as the result of rape by her 13-year-old brother.
One of the most alarming aspects of this case was that the girl claimed not to have known that she had been pregnant. Apparently, none of her family members realised as well. Kampar District Police Chief Superintendent Hasrul Nazri Hashim said that, according to the victim, she was experiencing extreme stomach aches, and when she went to the toilet, she gave birth to a baby girl unexpectedly.
So the victim and her baby have been admitted to a hospital for treatment. She experienced complications from the birth. The baby sustained head injuries after landing in the toilet bowl. The victim's brother, meanwhile, has been arrested for further investigations under the penal code for incest.
Since the incident came out in the news, some have pointed out the importance of good sex education in schools. Perak State Exco member Wong Mei-ing said that children these days have easier access to pornographic websites but have no proper sexual education.
Patukawan MP Kasturi Pato echoed the sentiment and asked questions in a Malaysia Kini op-ed about the status of sex education in our schools at the moment, whether they are adequate, whether they are fitting for today's world. And on that note, we have on the line Kasturi herself to discuss this issue further. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with this. What sort of sex education does Malaysia have at the moment? What sort of problems have you identified in our sex ed syllabus, so to speak?
So the sex education syllabus that's currently out there in the Malaysian education system is a bit more rigid. In my opinion, it is very physiological, which means it speaks about the scientific, biological process of what intercourse is, and then what leads to fertilization, and then, you know, the baby's development and growth, etc. There is very little focus on the other huge other part of what sex education is, which is the debate on the softer issues on sex education, how boys and girls are physiologically different, how you know, when emotions are involved, good touch, bad touch, respecting each other's personal space, sexual reproductive health issues, sexually transmitted disease issues, and also the law. So all these are, in my opinion, gaping holes in the education system. Yeah.
As an MP, have you come across cases or heard of any stories involving issues that comprehensive sex ed could have prevented?
I have no personal experience, but I have actually worked with NGOs and child advocate NGOs who in the past were given access to go into schools because we were opposition MPs, we couldn't go in. So these child advocate CSOs and NGOs, when they go into schools to advocate and to teach about sexual reproductive health and to teach young children about good touch and bad touch, there have been cases of children actually coming and talking to them because they keep in touch with the facilitators to tell them that, you remember when you came and informed me and shared with us what these things were, because I found myself in a similar situation and I knew what to do when and who to call and, what action I as a child could have taken at that time. So, yes, there have been positive effects of sharing and actually to be more open and to speak about sex education. Because in the past, every time you mention sex education, general public also feels that it is just on intercourse, and it's always a sticky subject. Not many want to talk about it, but we have to at this point in time, with rising numbers of unintended teenage pregnancies and baby dumping, I think, it is time that we revisit the content of the syllabus that we have now for young children and for teenagers, what sex education really should do for them.
And on that note, in your op-ed, you called for the importance of judgment-free sexuality education as stated in UNESCO's technical guide. Why is being judgment-free such a key trait of good sex ed?
I think, in my opinion, because sex education has always been viewed as a taboo topic, not just in schools, but also amongst the general public, there's always this automatic reaction to judge if a child is pregnant or if a boy has, if he's a victim of a sexually transmitted disease. There's always that sort of a stigma and judgment by society, by community, and that makes it a topic that many don't want to talk about, which means young people are embarrassed to talk about it. Even teachers, for that matter, sometimes are embarrassed to talk about it. So what I think should be the way forward is, when I say judgment-free, sort of an education, is that any question about anything should be addressed in a professional manner, in an objective manner, with the view that children walk out of the classroom empowered with knowledge about all the other issues surrounding intercourse per se. Because in many cases, not just for sex education per se, even, for example, women who are victims of domestic violence often find it difficult to come out to talk about it because they're embarrassed, because they fear that they will be judged by society, they'll be judged by their family members, they'll be judged by their in-laws, they'll be judged by their friends, and they'll be maybe even judged by their children. So these are issues that nobody wants to talk about, but we've come to a point where we have to discuss about it, we have to dialogue about it. There has to be a platform to address this issue without judgment. Yeah.
You also mentioned the term positive sex education. How does that contrast with negative sex education, so to speak?
So I think what's important is that we must know what negative sex education is, which is normally to paint, you know, while boys and girls are physiologically different, but there's that importance of gender equality that needs to be taught also, differences and similarities. Generally, boys are made to think, young boys are made to think that they are predators, and young girls are made to think that they are passive or they are prey. So this is negative sex education. You know, it makes boys think that if they want, they can take. And this is in no way shifting the blame to young boys and young girls. It is just how a conservative society like Malaysia, and in most Southeast Asian countries for that matter, this is how a topic like sex education is normally approached. And also, when we talk about negative sex education, it's also perhaps not putting the various health services or healthcare providers or support systems or halfway homes out there with the fear that it might encourage unregulated or unprotected sex or intercourse among young people. So it's all this sort of even stigmatization of certain issues that are linked to sex education. And also with there are very good teachers out there, but I think sometimes teachers are also not trained. It's not their field of expertise to address questions by young children and also by teenagers on sex education. So they also could be in a position where they're a bit embarrassed to talk about it and may not broach on those subjects as well. So these are all the, in my view, what negative sex education is. So that's why we need to counter that with positive sex education, to tell them that help is out there, to tell them that protected sex is always the best way to go. It is not just the pregnancy that you want to, unintended pregnancies that you want to encounter, but it's also the sexually transmitted disease. It's educating, it's speaking the language of young people, you know. That's what I think positive sex education is. Get young people to really understand what it actually means. Yeah.
I guess the key thing here is also that the well-being of children is what's at stake. And if we get sex ed wrong, that is, you know, just going to have huge effects. Are the adults thinking of what's best for the children, and how do you get people to be on the same page?
Yes, I think many adults out there are now openly also speaking about how they would like to see sex education being taught in schools. And it's also not the case of just government schools. Even some international schools don't have a fixed syllabus on the content of what sex education should be. It is more based on a Q&A by students. But to be fair, in the past, CSOs have actually proposed what they think should be included in the syllabus, the Malaysian education system and syllabus, what sex education should be, how we should move away from this shaming, judgmental approach to sex education and take a more positive, empowering young people with knowledge, empowering young children with protection, or good touch and bad touch. So yes, adults do want to see a safer environment being created for their children, even in school, an environment that is free from predators, and if there are, that their children are able to identify them and do the necessary. So, yes, I believe adults are on board. More people are talking about it. BFM is talking about it. That's one. But we all need to come together, put our heads together, get the Ministry of Education on board, Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development on board, get Home Ministry on board, Youth and Sports on board, to be able to see this through.
Kasturi, thank you so much for your views. That was Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato discussing the importance of not just sex education, but judgment-free, positive sex education being introduced in order to prevent, I suppose, cases of sexual violence against everyone, against children in particular, in this case. Let us know what you think. Do you support this motion to introduce sex ed into our schools? What form would you like to see that take? What do you think would be the healthiest, best way to go about it? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We've received a few messages. One here regarding the death of Muhammad Adib saying, from Amafami, the government should give extreme punishment to the people who killed Adib and establish new laws that protect the safety of firefighters. Dr. RK, meanwhile, says sex education is a must in this day and age. However, no thanks to the godmen among us who are slightly ossified in their attitudes, we can't teach it in the most effective way. It's sad to think that sex education is still a rather taboo subject in Malaysia, Baru. I don't expect our education minister to change anything in this regard. I hope that is just pessimism and that we do see that change. Norhan says, the best sex education is to teach abstinence, HIV, AIDS, meaning of love. No apologies modules are actively taught in school, should involve more schools to participate in this. You can keep your thoughts coming. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are discussing the value of sex ed and the kind of sex education you would like to see introduced in schools. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Calvin. And earlier on in the show, we were talking about sex education. This came about, of course, because Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato has been pushing for an introduction and recentering of sex education in the conversations that we have in education. This came after a 15-year-old teenager, as a result of rape by her 13-year-old brother, gave birth to her baby daughter in a toilet, essentially, without recognizing all the symptoms of pregnancy, which is a story that we've heard before, albeit one that has its own rather unique horrors. We hear from John, who says, another day, another news report about a pregnant minor who didn't know she was pregnant. Should we have sex education in school? Heck yes. Also, why is it always only the male who is held legally accountable? No adult ever told me when I was a kid that having consensual sex with an older female could land me in jail. That should be taught in schools as well. And while I think there is an important point to be made there about legal accountability and responsibility, this issue here, I don't think, has much to do with the fact that someone is older or younger. It's purely to do with the fact that incest happened.
And they're both younger as well.
Yes. So, I mean, I do agree that there needs to be conversations about accountability, but in this situation, it's actually quite clear cut. Intan Sabrina says, please get the Ministry of Health, Education, Women and Family Development, NGOs, to sit together and draw up a proper sex education syllabus before implementing it. And 10% of the caseloads who seek psychological counselling for depression, stress and anxiety at government hospitals are due to unmarried pregnancies, mainly underage students. Please talk to the stakeholders. This is no longer a religious issue. It is time we take a pragmatic and practical approach. Enough of babies being flushed down toilet bowls and not recognizing the symptoms of pregnancies. We heard quite a bit earlier also from Perry, who says, abstinence didn't work for me. The more my parents and religious elders preached that to me, the more I wanted to do it, or at least explore it. I wanted to know what all the buzz was about. And I think that, again, going back to that point we made earlier about abstinence, it hasn't been proven to work.
And I think the more it seems mysterious, I think at that age, especially when you're a teenager, I think that's something you want to try out. Because, oh, my parents don't want me to do it, the more I want to do it. Teen rebellion is a real thing.
eMacro says, those who are financially not sound or educated are the ones having the most children. You need to educate financial planning instead of sex ed. I think they can coexist. We've talked a bit about how important financial planning is in terms of education, how that should be introduced earlier. And I think that should stay. But it's so important. I mean, we were having a chat earlier, I suppose, about how puberty can be kind of a really challenging time.
Yeah, for me, it was strange because we only started learning about puberty in our science textbook by the time we were 15. But our bodies have started changing, at a much younger age. For myself, I went through puberty, I think, when I was 13. And that was quite scary for me. But thankfully, I had the internet and I referred to resources online like the NHS, which really helped me get a grip on what was going on. You know, my voice started cracking. Why was that happening? So on.
Of course, the issue with the internet, while it's so great, it's also that it can sometimes give you all sorts of information that you didn't ask for that might not be helpful in terms of filtering what you need. And so I think that's where having trusted adults, having it in our syllabus, that's where having that kind of structure would help. Anyway, let us know your thoughts. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we also went around the office speaking with several BFMers about their experience with sex ed. We, of course, have people who studied here in both public and private schools. Sophia, a member of our news team, studied in Thailand. Richard Bradbury, whom you'll hear from, brings, of course, an English perspective. Here then are some BFMers who did go through sex ed, and here's also what they thought about the experience.
I went to an international school in Thailand. Most of it was on safe sex rather than abstinence or anything like that. And we had demonstrations on how to properly use things like condoms, what birth control pills were.
I went to an international school in KL. Every year from the time I turned 12, so year 7, which is Form 1, we would have 1 hour a year where the girls and the boys would be separated and we'd be taken away into a classroom to learn about menstruation, contraception, STIs, ways to protect yourself against getting pregnant or infections. As we got older, it got more serious. We got shown the short video clip of a woman with a banana or a dildo putting a condom on, but it was very focused on male contraception, so male condoms, but we were never taught about female contraception. It was mentioned, sort of IUDs, but not gone into as much length as male condoms. One thing that we weren't taught was different gender identity, different sexualities, none of that. It was quite heteronormative.
I went to a grammar school in the UK called Tapton House School in Chesterfield. It started at the age of 11, and then we would have one class each week called PSE, Personal and Social Education. So originally it started out as a bit of a discussion on the human body and biology, about how the male body is built and how the female body is built, and how very sciencey, you know, very kind of black and white and not very interesting. And then as the kind of class went along over the period of about 4 or 5 months, it became more of a discussion, you know, how do adults have sex? How are kids born? And this was done in a very kind of laid-back discussion kind of way, and was very informative. You know, if you had a genuine question, you can ask in front of your peers, and the headmaster at the time, he would answer the questions. And it wasn't embarrassing because everybody was in the same boat, you know? Nobody knew anything at that stage, and so it was a case of them educating us and us learning together.
Two of our colleagues had less stellar experiences.
I went to a public school, a public primary school. In primary school, there was some that touched during our PJK class, or Pendidikan Jasmani dan Kesihatan. We received a bit of information on puberty. I remember back then, the boys were split from the girls. And during one class we had, like the teacher did introduce puberty to us, what will happen, what's about to happen, and so on. In secondary school, the only exposure was in science class, I think when we were 15. Our science teacher did touch about how human reproduction works, but it was just that. And it was very brief, incredibly brief. Also very awkward, of course, but it wasn't properly dealt or addressed. So other things like what is sex, how to have sex, idea of consent, Nothing, absolutely nothing.
I went to a public school in Teluk Intan Perak, all boys school. I would assume that when you learn about reproduction in Form 3, that's like the closest thing to sex ed you get. But that's like one chapter in science that you learn. And I guess like most students in my school, especially the boys, they were like anticipating, you know, to go to Form 3 to just learn about this and like banter with the teachers and all that. But prior to that, it's all about just self-learning, or like in my case, I actually, it was actually through movies. I remember this movie called Body of Evidence. And there was Madonna in it, and obviously I wanted to watch it. And then I saw some scenes, and then I was like, I had to ask my brother, like, what's this? And then he explained it to me. So I think eventually as we grew up, and then we got exposed to like pornography and all that, that's where you actually learn that these things actually happen. But even in school, if you want to talk about sex ed in school, yes, you know where we learned it? In the toilet, where there are scribbles and people are just scribbling. It's like just like art, work of art, but it's vandalism basically. People are scribbling, you know, menconting dinding lah. So there are people like drawing two humans, like a man and women having sex and all that. So then you wonder, what is this? And then like people say, oh, they are having sex and these kind of things. That, so if you want to talk about like scholar rendah, that's the closest thing you learn about sex ed in school, which is in the toilet walls.
We also asked two parents whether or not they talk about sex with their kids.
Yes, I have two kids. Both of them know. I just get to the point. My son is homeschooled, so he doesn't go to school. My daughter was half homeschooled. By the time she left school, I don't think the teachers ever broached the subject. So both me and my wife spoke to them about it. My son is a little young, so it's still very on the surface kind of information. But when he's much older, when he starts to experience himself coming into maturity, I think we will go more into details. My daughter, probably about 11, 12, around that time, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it's about how babies are made, pregnancy, the dangers, you know, things like that. Yeah.
So I should have already started in a little way. My daughter's only three, but for example, body parts, genitals, we give them their proper names. So we don't say like, oh, this is your pee-pee or whatever. So it's penis, vagina, vulva, things like that. Kind of educate them that nobody should touch these areas except, you know, mummy and daddy and, you know, Auntie Rosie or our helper, you know, those sorts of things. So we're starting that now already to give them proper names so that they know. And we also tell them, I mean, I also tell her, you know, people, don't let people touch you. Don't, you know, if anything happens to you, stop or come and see mummy or, you know, whatever. So that's already started. But I talk about it now, but I plan on telling her everything, like the birds and the bees. I will sit and explain everything to her as best as I can.
You just heard from several BFMers there about their experience with sex education. Mine was very limited to a parenting book that I managed to find on the bookshelves of my house, hidden away a little bit high up, as well as what I learned in Form 3, Chapter 1, Science. And I do hope that if I were to have kids, I would be able to have those kinds of honest, age-appropriate conversations and scale up, I think, as you go along.
Me too. I think when I think it was Juliet who said that she would tell her child specific body parts and all that. I think I wish I had that, and I hope that if I ever have children in the future, I think that's the direction I want to go as well. I think that is the best way to go. You can't say, oh, this is the flower stem and this is the petal. No, I don't think that's appropriate anymore. Kids are a lot smarter than we give credit.
Hopefully we'll both also be assisted by an education syllabus that has this in a structured way in which there is that kind of discussion that can scale. I think scale is so important.
Yeah.
And if you have it more often, then it isn't going to be so weird. Anyway, you can message us your thoughts. Let us know your experiences with sex ed. Let us know how you would like to see it introduced. If you would like to see it introduced, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have more songs coming your way. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.